Good morning, Patriots. It is a Wednesday. I'll tell you, every time I do that, I laugh. I cannot believe how fast this time goes. It's Wednesday, the 28th of July. And I swear for July 1st was just yesterday. But nope, it isn't, because it's the 28th. And yesterday, by official calendar, was the 27th, so apparently we didn't jump through a time gate, but it sure feels like it, man. And things are accelerating faster and faster. And of course, that means that on the 26th or the 27th of August, which is a month away, we have Bards Fest. Bards Fest, Bards Fest, Bards Fest. You need to go over to bardsfest.com. You need to get your tickets for Bards Fest. And the celebration shall begin. It's a celebration for 4 days in St. Charles, Missouri. And God's looking over this place, I swear. They tried to put a mask mandate in St. Charles County, which is where the other venue is, the outdoor venue, and it got crushed yesterday. You should just tell these politicians to knock it off. Like, you do realize God's coming. They're like, oh, we need to have a mask mandate. It's like, all right, I'm just telling you, God's coming. You probably don't want to mess with this. And there they go. They're not learning because they're all godless anyway. Not all of them, but the ones that are making these rules. Making up these rules, I should say. So we're cleared hot for a great event. 26th to the 28th of August. Two locations, one mission, bring God into this world. And it's truly a fantastic event. We have what we call the outdoor event, which has also got indoor stuff. It's got it's a festival. It's got outdoor music and a stage with speakers and music. And it has an indoor place with daycare, and it has the seven pillars of the county by county. Each one of those places has breakout rooms, and there's festivities for the family and people, but it's really built to bring families together. And then we have the indoor event, which is an indoor state-of-the-art facility, 7,500 people. We need to fill it, and we're filling it. So we need to get you over there, get as many people of you know to get there. St. Charles, Missouri, most amazing event of our time. It's going to literally be raining down, and there's a lot of things to do. Time is ticking. So get on over to bardsfest.com. Get your tickets today. You'll find the indoor and the outdoor. Full schedule of events is on that website. So let's get her done. And we're anxious to bring everybody together and to celebrate God and His glory in the center of our nation. And then on the 27th of August, Mike Lindell will be speaking in the indoor and the outdoor event two different times. And that's Slipper Revolution Day. So get your My Slippers to celebrate that. So you head on over to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and you just bring it in. And it knocks down all sorts of costs on your shopping cart. 40% off on My Slippers. 6 towel set for $39.99. You got Giza sheets, 2 for $1 low price. Just amazing stuff. All of those products are amazing. I'm just going to tell you. I use many of them. The towels, the sheets, the comforter, the slippers, and the pillows. And I'm telling you, it's crazy good stuff. Amazing products. So head on over to MyPillow.com, use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for some great savings. And if you're in need of some psychological counseling because you can't sleep, they have a sleep counseling number. It's 800-975-2939. You can call them and say, I can't sleep. They're going to say, what's your promo code? You're going to give them the promo code, and they're going to dish up a whole bunch of products that you need drug-free to help you sleep better, and you will. And that'll be the last time you have to call a counselor. End of story. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So let's support one of the greatest companies and CEOs in our nation. And that will be it. So MyPillow.com, Bards promo code. Don't forget BardsFest.com, your tickets to Bards Fest. It's all one big happy package. We'll get it rolling. So one thing I've been asked to suggest, which I think is a good idea, and it's and I'm actually kind of learning about this specifically because I don't typically I do fasting, and that's why I'm bringing this up. It's been suggested that we suggest a fast for 21 days before Bard's Fest, and what's been suggested is the Daniel fast. I'm kind of one of those brutal types. You say fast, and I go, okay, water. And that's it. I did that once. I did 60 days. And it was kind of more of a hybrid fast. It was 60 days of water, and then it kind of became a kind of like a Daniel fast, but only once a day. I will just tell you this. That's a long time to fast. I wouldn't recommend doing that. Your blood sugar kind of gets messed up at the end of 16 days like in a big way. So not what I would suggest, but it was powerful, I'll tell you that. But 21 days before Bard's Fest is starting on the 1st of August. So we might want to, you know, if you're interested and you want to participate in this, I think there's others that are doing it. It's been suggested the Daniel fast, which is primarily just a vegetable-based fast and water. No meat or wine for 21 days. And it's entirely each one's choice. Some will be doing it. Remember, this is a very, very powerful time, and everyone is going to bring together what they desire. And there's other aspects to the Daniel fast, like, I guess, no coffee. I'm reading here on the board. I really am not that familiar with it, to be honest with you, because like I said, I tend to be a more traditional. When I say fast, it's usually water, and that's it. I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm going to have to adjust just based on my schedule and what I'm doing. I know myself too well. If I have to do without coffee, it ain't working. So, but that's a suggestion going into the fast of anybody that would like to participate. I think it's a very interesting idea, and I encourage it if you're so called. So something, and make sure you know what you're doing on these things. I mean, 21 days is a long time for many, and I like the Daniel fast idea because you're not cutting cold, like no food, just water. I've had people ask me before, like, you know, how do you fast? And I'm not a medical doctor here. You have to do what you kind of feel comfortable with. But I do think that, you know, fasting in the sense of giving up something for 21 days is a really powerful notion. So something to think about. So there you go. And I'll talk more about it as I learn more about it, because I'm kind of learning about it right now as we go. Luke 16:19-31. Is in ESV's titled The Rich Man and Lazarus, and I want to read this. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that they may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This passage has really stuck with me now for about a year and a half. In a big way. Long before we got to the COVID nonsense and this pandemic. And the farther we go down this road of the pandemic and now the push towards mandatory injections, mandatory in the sense, if you notice what they're doing, it's mandatory through job and employer. They have not come to your home. And the recent ruling by the DOJ, which was yesterday, stated that it was by virtue of employment that they can mandate the injection. You're dealing with a level of pure evil right now that wants nothing more than to exterminate humanity and is self-consumed to a level that we have never imagined. It's a level of evil that I think that even those who know evil would be shocked at how dark it is. And I'm even adding myself to that category because I've touched some pretty, when I say evil exists, I've touched pure evil. And I'm stunned at how this evil that we're dealing with is like a ravenous child who's not eaten for a week. It can't get enough of its glory of destruction and leverage of power and the joy it's getting out of watching people willfully consume its traps and willfully kill itself. Because that's essentially what we're witnessing right now. We are witnessing a willful suicide of society. And it's by the arrogance and blindness of where people walk. I've read Amos 8:11, I think three different times this week, and I'm going to read it again because it is so relevant, I believe, in this time. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And of course, you have with this evil the deceit of so many of the churches and many of the pastors. One of the great passages that everyone is quoting these days is Romans 13. And I should just basically say the passage that they are abusing, suggesting obedience to the government and hence obedience to the vaccine. But, of course, it's completely out of context, since obedience to the government assumes that those who rule were obedient to God, not obedient to Lucifer. So we have a time right now in which we are witnessing one side of the public that is taking the injection, lavishly lapping up its victory, even proclaiming that those who have not taken it should be cast away, excluded from services. It's even getting so crazy. There was in our own local paper, some dipstick decided to write yesterday that people should be denied access to food. There is a frenzy in this that is like a virus in itself. And quite frankly, the greatest virus is human beings. And it's not the human beings loyal to God. It's the human beings that have taken the oath to Lucifer and doing so through the shot. Never in our history have we known of anything where people, even in the midst of the polio injection, which was another fear, of course, man-made and created, primarily caused by the exposure to DDT, not a virus. That period of time, was not even as frenzied as this. The only time we've seen a frenzy like this is under, in our recent history, was under Hitler and the Nazis, where the Germans got so fanned up to believe that it was okay to execute and terminate Jews. And once again, now the Americans are now consumed with that same fervor. What you can't seem to explain to people is the consequence of their action, because they're blind to the reality of this time. And again, it goes back to the story of the rich man and Lazarus. As they dance around and celebrate their glory and enjoy this moment, there is and the casting off and the separation of part of humanity simply because they did not conform to the fear that consumed them. They are ravishly consuming their celebration at this point in time, dancing around in glory that they are free. But notice that there's a cost, and it's looming, and the cost began with a flurry yesterday. And that cost is that, oh, yeah, I know you took the injection, but by the way, you still have to wear a mask. And of course, now there's this discussion. Even the press has to wear a mask now, apparently. Of course, most of that's a stunt, but nonetheless. They have to wear a press at briefings with hand puppet Joe. And the CDC yesterday announced that we are now approaching something dramatic, that they were warning that the CCP virus may be a few mutations away from evading the vaccines. Oh, lordy, lordy. This is the craziness of our time. And then, of course, they're changing the PCR tests to a new test, which will sort out the flu and the COVID, which they should have done from the very beginning. But they're all setting the stage for an Alinsky-style brainwashing, in which they're going to show lower statistics of lower numbers of cases. Hospitals are no longer testing the injected. Hospitals are only going to test those that haven't been injected. So they're going to completely bias the stats. And any rise in cases, well, they'll point the finger at the uninjected and try to say, you're the fault. But of course, the fundamental question which must be asked is, how is it that if you took the injection, you're even getting sick? And if we really dig into the stats, and this is ultimately where we get back to the story of Lazarus, is if we really watch and take and pay attention to what's going on, it is going to be those that are uninjected that will stand healthy and strong. And the majority of those that are injected will be the ones suffering from relapse or even death. And so you'll get that place, and that place will come. It is not a question of if, it is coming like a storm, where you will have, as with the rich man, those that were injected calling out to God, in this case, as in Lazarus, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And they will be in anguish as they suffer through this. Those that took the injection have changed their bodies forever. Those that took the injection accepted something in their body in the levels of trillions of messenger RNA that was artificially created, that was wrapped in a lipid nanogel, that was done specifically so that it would bypass the location of the arm where about 25% of it resides. The 75% of it moves through the body, and it infects every single cell of the body within about 15 minutes. But it continues to grow over time because it's telling the body and giving the body new instructions. So think about that by definition of law. Those that have taken this injection and now this mRNA, this manufactured messenger RNA, artificially created in the lab using CRISPR technology, which is gene editing technology, this mRNA is now in every single cell giving messages, messenger coding, messages to the DNA and what it needs to do. Hence, it's generating a spike protein. By definition of law, forget everything else. By definition of law, this person who takes it, every person who takes it is no longer human. They are now a GMO, a genetically modified organism, which also means because each one of their cells possesses an artificial messenger RNA created in a lab, every single person that took this injection is now licensable and controlled as property by the corporations that developed the mRNA. They are now owned. Forget the restoration of the Act of 1871, the restoration of our rights through birth certificate, the birth certificate that all of us have that somehow we are owned by a trading aspect behind the scenes. This is even worse than that. This is in you. You're never separating from this unless you physically change the law and definition of GMO. And it's worse than that because obviously it has effects on the physical aspects of the human being. So this, again, we get back to this story of the rich man and Lazarus, because the part that I find real interesting in this story and why it has always resonated with me, Abraham responds, and this is Lazarus 16:26, and says, "And besides all of this," after he is related to the manner in which they lived, "between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." Scripturally, this fits into something that's very interesting. It's called the bifurcated world, the division of what they call the 3D and the 5D world. And I don't know whether you subscribe to that. I don't advocate it. I'm just simply sharing this thing with you. So for those of you that don't like it, then put your fingers in your ear and go la, 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 la or something. I don't know, because I'm going to talk about it. Just giving you a forewarning. Don't want to trigger anybody here today. This is ultimately the quantum space. And this is where I truly believe we have quantum souls. And I believe we are witnessing before our very eyes a quantum shift. And I believe that we are seeing, as God separates our worlds, we are going from one world of ascension, of meaning not like everything's all good, but literally a spiritual and conscious ascension to a higher order of living. And if you look at how we are existing within faith, our faith is becoming stronger and more pure and more aligned with God. So there is that. That is the quantum aspect. And then there is the other side. Because to me, this is all purely scriptural. It doesn't deviate from Bible. I think that, you know, we get to the legalist readings of the scripture and I'm going to kind of roll my eyes sometimes. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you think God would just like, by the word, that's all there is? You think that's all God is? God is everything and can do anything. And God is profound. And when you deal with the bifurcation of the world, as we are witnessing, all you have to do is walk down the street and ask somebody if they got injected. And they'll be like, yeah, boy, I got myself an injection and everything's good. Boy, boy, we're going to have a pig fry after this one. You roll your eyes and you're like, what in the world just happened? So you end up with a bifurcation of thought. And people literally we are looking at each other and not able to even touch each other. This is phenomenal, both in the physical, because we should be very cautious of the transmission, which is happening. That's not like some goofball science. There is a transmission physically happening. And this new era, this new age that we're walking into is God's age. This is what's so fantastic about this. I mean, we're in the walk with God. Profound moment in human history. Profound moment. And we feel it. We know that God is with us. But on this other side, you have this darkness that's settled in. And for the moment, just like the rich man, they're celebrating. They're like, you can just hear this. Like, have you ever seen a Monty Python? I was about ready to make some noises, so that was what that was. I'll get to it. Don't worry. I'll give you some sound effects in a minute. You ever see that Monty Python, the meaning of life. At the end, they've got that massively fat dude. I mean, like, he's unbelievably fat, and they just keep bringing food to him. You can just hear this. He's eating away, right? And the whole thing is, like, the guy comes up. He goes, "Oh, sir, would you like a mint?" And he's like, "F off, man. Get out of here." And he's, like, spitting up food as he does it. And he says, "Oh, sir, but it's just a wafer-thin mint." And he slips the mint in his mouth, and the guy goes running for cover. And this obese, massively fat human being literally detonates like a suicide bomber and blows himself all over the place. It's the most disgusting and funny scene probably in film. But that's kind of like what we're witnessing right now, right? In a less dark way, but still pretty dark. You have this people like with the rich man dancing around going, yada, 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 yada. I've got myself an injection. You know, it's kind of like Steve Martin's thing. You know, if you remember, what did he say? I'm going to get a thermos today, a fancy little thermos today. That's from The Jerk. You know, so now it's, I've got myself an injection today. I'm going to have an injection today. It's going to make me feel all right and everything will be okay. I mean, it's just like, seriously, like, where did we go astray? And there is this intersection of our worlds, and it's not so much an intersection, it's a division of our world that's happening right before us. And I think that we can all agree. It's like from one day to the next, we went, what just happened to our world? It just went crazy. Like, where did the common sense go? Where did this insanity set in? When we look at the world in terms of a bifurcation, which is literally described right here in Scripture, that there is a chasm that's been placed before us. We are literally witnessing that right now. Obviously, we can walk over and we can touch somebody, so we're not divided there yet. But there is a divide in the way we're physically seeing the world. All you have to do is spend 5 minutes talking to somebody who's taken the injection, and you will notice immediately that there is no reconciliation in the way we see the world. Their world now, it's like all of a sudden they're in a new matrix. They've been reset. And everything about their world now is centered around the fact that their anxiety, their fears, their existence has now been redefined, reshaped, and reset by whatever came into them through that needle. I mean, the greatest irony of all of that is some of them did get a placebo and they're still acting the same way. So there is a bifurcation that's happening right before us. And this bifurcation is insane. I mean, and of course, what they're trying to do is they're trying to reach over and they're trying to grab as many of us as they can because they want to bring us to them for now until that fire of Hades lights up. But you'll notice that even in the midst of this, in the crisis, like with yesterday and the flurry of the Veterans Administration announcing that it's going to mandate the injection, the DOJ saying that it was legal for corporations and agencies to mandate the injection, the threat of Biden, which will probably happen on Thursday, that he's going to mandate injections for all federal employees. Pay attention to what's being said. They're not rolling out mandatory injections. They're mandating by job, which leaves everybody once again a choice. And I've argued from the very beginning, and you know this, that this is much deeper than mandate, because if they mandate, they don't win. They need to gain control of a certain percentage of the population to accomplish their harvest. That's what they're trying to do. And I think at the end game of this is so dark that most people couldn't even swallow it, even if you gave them a great shake, like a malt, vanilla malt with homemade ice cream. That's really good. I don't know if you all like malt. Man, do I like vanilla malt shakes, but whew, can't do them very often. They'll add waistline to you. Anyway, little sidebar there. In the morning, you're like, where did Bards go? He just went down talking about milkshakes and Lazarus. Well, sorry, I'm back. All right, so anyway, this is an incredible, I saw this on, someone just posted this, perfect words, the great deception, absolutely true. Okay, so we are in this time where literally as they are separating, I truly believe that part of this dark agenda is as the truth is rising up about their deceit of the people who violated the tenet of trust through the election, which then is the rabbit hole that opens up the hell of truth, which reveals them for who they really are and what they're really about. They're pushing harder on these injections because I believe they truly want to accomplish enough control over society, like 70%. Notice the number that keeps coming up, 70 and 75%. So that they can literally then threaten to stop the reveal of truth by saying, basically, if you continue forward, we are going to flip a dead man switch and we're going to kill them all at once. And I think that that's extremely possible. Of course, that fits in with all these other indicators, like the Georgia Guidestone and everything else, that they want to eradicate human population down to some certain level. It aligns with the 2030 agenda. It aligns with everything Klaus Schwab has said in his book, to remove useless eaters, which, footnote on that, I don't know if you know that that quote was specifically used by Nazis under Hitler, removing useless eaters. So anyway, we're at this point right now where we're witnessing a bifurcation. And I think in the ideals of the bifurcation has been a big discussion point for kind of spiritualists and some of the new age folks. And so I always kind of stay away from it because it gets all squishy. But from a biblical point of view, there is some tangible evidence that bifurcation can exist. And that's, again, I point to this the story, Luke 16, 19 to 31. And I see no reason why it could not. This is the quantum concept of dividing two worlds and two ways of being. And I'm not sure that it hasn't happened before, if we look at things this way. But this bifurcation is a spiritual existence. And I think in the sense of if you hear it out here, and I say like out in the world where people are trying to talk about, you know, astrology and all this other stuff. And I do read it because I want to hear what they have to say. Otherwise, we can't understand each other very well. The whole point of that is they try to make it really fluffy. And it's like, oh, our worlds are going to divide. You're going to see a little bit of craziness, but we'll now see the two worlds coexisting and then separating. It's like, okay, that's great. But the reason I love Lazarus is like there's some brutality in this man. And this is more true to human existence. Lazarus suffered an enormous amount of pain and agony leading up to the point where he was finally freed. And the rich man enjoyed the lavishness of his lifestyle and then was rewarded accordingly when he went to Hades. The consistency with that is even in the discussion with Christ, we hear this discussion of, if you follow me, I mean, he said, if you follow me, you will be persecuted. And then that goes to the wide gate and the narrow gate, that the narrow gate is a gate to life, but it is not the easy path by any means. Obviously, my paraphrase from the actual scripture. So when we start to look at the crumbs that are placed before us within scripture, we do see that there is a discussion of separation. And if in fact we are going through a bifurcation of our world, which I believe we are witnessing right now, then what we cannot assume is that that bifurcation would be peaceful, would be easy, and would be easy to deal with. And that's what I believe we are witnessing right now, that we are literally seeing the worlds dividing before us, the separation, which we would call the separation of wheat and chaff, perhaps. From a Luciferian model, they might refer to this as the harvest, which is the harvest of souls. And I have heard Christians mention a harvest as well, though I can't biblically align with that one. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I'd have to dig into scripture more to find where that reference specifically is. But there is a harvest here going on of some fashion, a separating of, and we see it. It's not even debatable. So however you want to lens that, and I'm choosing to give you a lens this morning, a perspective of Luke 16, 19 to 31, the rich man and Lazarus, it's a profound moment in time and in human evolution and human history under God's plan, where literally those that are standing strong with scripture, and the more that they push against us, the irony is the deeper we get to touching God. And why this all becomes so insignificant, so significant to me, is that in a time like this, a time such as this, you're no longer able to walk with, in your life, with randomness. It's not like you get to walk today with Christ and then you stumble and you make a, you can, oh, I'm sorry, I'll get back to it maybe next week, maybe next Sunday. We are literally walking in one of the most intentional periods of our time in human existence. My personal opinion, and I will share this with you, and I'm very candid about this, and when I have discussions with people, is when Christ spoke of faith, of a mustard seed, and being able to move a mountain from here to there, we are talking, in my opinion, of a quantum perspective of what our soul is, an ability to literally shift realities if we truly understand our gift and the power of who we are. I believe that's at the core of who we are. I believe that that's what they've tried so hard to suppress for so long. And to me, it's the solution of understanding why they've spent so much time trying to convince us that we're weak rather than just eliminating us. That never makes rational sense if you think about it. And we're back to kind of this rich man Lazarus thing. Why not just wipe everybody out? If we're such cattle and such worthless beings, why not just detonate? I mean, it's not like they don't have the capability. Why not just detonate some massive radiation storm across the U.S., across the world, and just put all their people in bunkers and just literally fire it up across the entire globe and kill all humanity? I'm dead serious with what I say. If we are so weak, why bother spending so much time and resources to convince us to make choices by our own free will to destroy ourselves? And that gets to the core of who we really are. We are not what we think we are. We are what we think too often what they have told us we are. And at the core of all of this rests to me one of the biggest clues ever given to us, which was Christ's clue, which was moving a mountain from here to there, the faith of a mustard seed. That teaching to me is a teaching of quantum physics at an unbelievably high level in a form that every person can digest. We don't have to get into theory. We don't have to get into execution. You only need to know one thing, faith. Understand the power of the faith in God and what it brings to you, and you will begin to unlock the incredible sense and gift of who you truly are in this world. So we're back to Lazarus and the story of the rich man. They have convinced many people that all they are is nothing, that the only way they can survive is dependency upon them. And by people's own free will, they are giving up their natural gift of who they truly are. And in so doing, this injection is literally disrupting the quantum nature of their soul. This is so deep and so dark. It's disturbing, but it's Luciferian in its true sense because there's a true hatred for humankind. And when we get into this place of literally looking at what the shot is doing, and it is unbelievable what its destructive nature is, there is a reality that's manifesting as this goes through that people accept. And I think this is the biggest piece about our world that we forget, is that we accept the physical realities as truths, rather than realizing that what we see before us is a transient world, and hence the words, we are not of this world. But if you live in this world and believe in the realities in this world, you will die in this world. So we are in a very critical time when every single thing we do, we must be intentional about through God, through our faith, and through the mission of saving souls, not being tied to this world as if all realities around us is fixed and impossible to overcome. With our faith, we literally can move a mountain from here to there. So if we and two or two or three are gathered, if we come together in his name and we pray and we consent to that and we work together in that principle always, we can steer the realities in which we live, the time in which we live, we can put that into the place of healing and glory and so forth through the sense of agape love. But it all centers again on individual choices. And the more that we can bring over to accept that, the less control and less harvest the Luciferians have. But the biggest power that the Luciferian side has in this fight of good versus evil, is the perception of reality in which we accept. The king, the rich man, lived in a lavish world of eating and consuming for himself, self-centered. This is another subtext of the rich man and Lazarus, that it is a subtext of the very world in which we live today, the me culture. The rich man represents the me culture, consuming, 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 ignoring all things because his reality is a fixed reality of this time in this place. But Lazarus continues to work and pray and work through a principle of something higher, accepting that of this world he will not necessarily get what he wants, but he will achieve what God needs him to achieve. And it was a suffering world, but he never gave in to that. He simply tried to be humble. And I'm reading into the story a little bit, but the point is that there's a humility of laying at the gate of this man, of the rich man, and wanting and hoping just to get the scraps of food and being satisfied with just the most minimal things that he could be given. And yet he was given nothing and he died. He fulfilled his mission that God put before him. And in so doing, the two worlds then were split. And he could then see the rich man and the rich man could see him. They could not touch. But they both became understanding that of the realities, the real realities of the world in which God gave us. So all of this comes down to some very simple principles. And then is our walk in faith. That in this time, in this age, more than ever, more than any other time in the past, it's not that faith has never been important. It's not that intention has never been important. But in this moment in time, I don't think there is a I don't think that there is a more important time, a more critical time to walk with the intention of God and Christ in your heart. There are consequences to what we do. We must put God before all things, our love of Christ before all things, and allow that to take us no matter what we face. And so that means that when you're faced with these choices, as we are right now, the choices of taking the injection or taking your job, you have to make simple decisions now that are fundamental to our very existence. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve a system? Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to serve a system or are you going to walk with Christ? And when you put everything into that relationship right there, life becomes very clear. And the bifurcation of our world actually becomes complete. And we have chosen when we take that path of following Christ and following God, no matter what the consequences of that are, because we know we are not of this world, but we are on a mission here for God. When we accept that path, no matter what those consequences are, we know that that path is the true path and that it's there that God wants us as we continue to occupy this land and expand his kingdom. We all know that Lazarus would never have imagined being written up in the Bible, and yet his story has lasted in eternity. A man that starved to death for lack of scraps of food, even from the floor, that were discarded by a rich man, a seemingly simple and tragic story has become a story embedded in the text of God to guide us now and into the future as a reminder of the true sense of faith, loyalty, and the placement of and reminder of that we are not of this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we live and time in which we exist, the reawakening of the true sense of purpose for where we are in this time and place. To place you and our love of Christ before and above all things, to not be deceived by the offers presented to us and the trickster's ways of drawing us in to a world that relinquishes our control of our temple, relinquishes our control of our soul to the promises of perfection created by the hands of men. Guide us, Lord, in this time, in the challenges that will continue to arise before us, to rise above what we have before us, to walk the path of a higher order, being reminded and living the path of not of this world, but working in this world for the purposes of occupying this land and expanding your kingdom. Let us honor you. Let us be humbled before you. Let us walk this with a pure heart in the love of Christ. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And there we have it. The commitment to our walk each and every day that begins each and every morning. The decision to put before us that choice of walking with God no matter what is put before us. Having true faith in the Lord. And tying into the true great awakening of our soul. Much ahead. As I've said many times, I will never prophesy end of time scenarios. It's a waste of time. It's an interesting read. It's important to know. But prophecy and trying to line up the end of time scenarios is literally a waste of time because it does nothing to accomplish the mission that's before us. If we are not dedicated to Christ in every moment and every day, if we are not walking with God every moment and every day, and doing what he has asked us to do, which is to expand his kingdom and to occupy this land and to do so through the engagement and the love of Christ, not the fear of death, but the love of Christ, not the fear of end of times, but the love of Christ. To be that so dutiful that we literally could walk that path of Lazarus and never, ever give in, but to complete that mission until death. That's the true path. The unwavering path. And in so doing, whatever befalls. Whatever happens, happens. Because we know one thing. We've never wavered from the one mission that God's put before us, which is to spread the love of his gospel across this world. Everything else is his timing. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers connect us. Prayers build the foundation around us. Prayers connect us to each other, to God, and they strengthen us in this amazing walk in which we're in. God is with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So, Patriots, have a very blessed day. I'll be back at 10 after 6 for the next show. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Yeah.
east of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers with the night.